So the disciples say, increase our faith. And I almost hardly even noticed that that's what they said after Jesus came out with that. Did you notice those words? I liked his other story about the mustard seed better. The one where it's a tiny seed and it grows into a big exaggerated tree. And I have to wonder if at this point where he has shown them many ways to grow in faith, maybe he's a little frustrated with them. As if, you know, in a more comedic way, he could have said, sure, tip your head over this way and I'm going to pour it into your ear. A little frustrated with them. Moving a mustard seed and moving a tree over to the sea, or planting a mustard seed and having it grow into this great tree, it's kind of a compelling way to picture something. In fact, you might be so distracted by the picture that you lose that question about increasing our faith. The mustard seed that becomes the great tree, or maybe the lunch of the boy, you know, the fish and the loaves that becomes food for 5,000, is a picture of faith where little things grow into bigger things, where books like The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell present something like a dump truck where it's tipping and tipping and nothing comes out, and then all of a sudden there's this great rush of change. And we know there are people like that, people whose faith in the future becomes the tipping point for us. Nelson Mandela, Malala Yousafzai, Greta Thunberg. And then here we go again, off on a wild ride, picturing these wonderful people. And the question was, increase our faith. I think a homegrown version of that, increase our faith, might be when one of us says, I wish I had more faith. And I don't know if you've ever found yourself saying that. I wish I had more faith. If you've ever sat in a hospital room with someone whose death is prolonged suffering, maybe you have said, I wish I had more faith. When my mother says that she knows she's going to heaven and she wishes the Lord would take her because she's done everything she needs to do, there's a part of me, I wish I had more faith. When someone does something that's terribly cruel and harms people, and they get away with it, and other people say, why didn't God swoop in? And that's not my picture of God, the swooping in. But there is a part of me, I wish I had more faith. So I want to look backwards and forwards in our stories to talk about having more faith. The first great reference to having that kind of faith is actually the Apostle Paul talking about Abraham. It's in Romans chapter 4. Paul says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham had the faith to go and change his life and move away to a far country just because God asked. And you can go earlier in the Bible too. There's Noah. God says, build me an ark. And we can picture some supposed massive capital project as this boat gets built. We can picture the ridicule of all the other people looking at Noah doing this thing. And we tend to sanitize that story in children's Bibles with pretty pictures of pairs of animals going two by two into that lovely boat, even though it's actually a text of terror, where all of Noah's neighbors are knocking on the boat and drowning. So I want to challenge that idea by asking about God's faith in us. Where's God's great faith that he would ask Noah to build a boat and start over again by destroying everyone except Noah's family? And we might portray Noah as having faith to build that ark, but what about faith to challenge God about how this was not a good thing? What about Noah having faith to say, you know, I'm going to open the door and let these people in? He should have argued with God that starting over wasn't going to work. That's what Abraham did when the angels were to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham said, but if there are 100 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you save them? Well, what about if there are 50? And Moses was even more articulate. After the people worshipped the golden calf, God was so angry he wanted to destroy all the people and start over again with Moses. And Moses said, well, what will people say about you as a God who brought the people out of slavery, made a miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, only to kill them out here because they thought you were dead on top of the mountain? And God repents and agrees with Moses, and they are examples of faith. I have to wonder if God maybe grew in God's faith in creation. The way that we mostly tell Christian stories is really shaped by those early centuries of Christianity that were influenced by Greek philosophy. And so they speak of God as not having feelings, God as being eternal. That first hymn actually is one of my favorite ones, but it says it so beautifully. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. And then in verse 2, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting. This God of the early first centuries of Christianity was presented as not having feelings. And then came in the 20th century a movement called process theology. And these theologians, Whitehead, Cobb, Teilhard de Chardin, they said God is in the process of changing. They said that the very act of creating was God opening God's self to learning things you can only be learned by being in relationship. And not just the relationship that is within the Trinity, but by being in relationship with those who would not do what you would do. God chose to create because God wanted to be open to the things you can only learn by being in relationship with others, with us. Now, there was a great pushback against that theology. There were church people quoting, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13. But I think that Christian theology has kind of come around to that there are different strands of theology that talk to each other and dialogue with each other, that are dissonant with each other, and then resolve almost like jazz music. And so you can have God as immortal, invisible, and only wise, and you can have God as repenting of the thought of wanting to start over because these are the people we're in relationship with and that we work with. In fact, having dissonant theologies is almost like having a parable that you're not supposed to park away once you've figured out the mustard seed. It's supposed to tease your brain so that you think about the great mysteries of life. That version of theology, process theology, helps me to believe that God has more faith in us than God has ever had before, that God's faith is growing as God's relationship with us through history has grown. And we need that way of thinking about God. If you consider the things that have been done in the name of God, the Crusades, the Shoah, the residential schools, who was the God that they invoked? Who was it the God that they said they had faith in to do those things? But God doesn't come to say, I need to destroy all those Canadians and start over again. Noah didn't argue, but Abraham did and Moses did. And today the argument is coming from Indigenous women orators who on the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, in every speech, they invoked the Creator. Every single one, they thanked Creator for blessings. They thanked Creator for the future that is yet to come because they know the Creator is with them. We need those voices if there is to be a future of Canada. We need a voice like Murray Sinclair, who said, we need a day to remember the children that is just as important as the way we remember the veterans on Remembrance Day, and just as important as how Queen Elizabeth was remembered on a day. And the people were there taking this in. I was there taking this in. Yes, this is what we need. Murray Sinclair invoked the Creator. Mary Simon did, as she switched back and forth between English and French and Inuktitut, as she described her own family's experience of the residential schools. There was a long red cloth with all the children's names on it, all the children that didn't come back from the residential schools. And that cloth was brought in procession through the crowd. And as you saw all those names go by, with the name of the school up above them, the word Anglican appeared more than a few times. How could the word not be genocide? Seeing all those names in that sea of red. But God the Creator was invoked and named and thanked at every step. And maybe we are at a tipping point of being able to ask God to increase our faith by opening our eyes to what's going on in the world around us. Maybe the mustard seed becoming a big tree, the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding thousands, those pictures are being acted out in front of us. There might be days when you need to do your own arguing with God because, well, Abraham did it, Moses did it. You can do that. That may be what you need to do for your faith to be increased. But as we look around in our current events, increased faith is continually being offered to us. Signs of people with words that make me say, I want to stand with you. I believe even more. I think God's faith in us has grown with each generation, and God has great faith in us now to be doing the right things. Amen.